Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the afternoon show. It's Wednesday afternoon, so it's my turn to do it. Rod Maxwell with you for the next 2 hours. And I have a guest in the studio. We'll be talking a little bit with David over the next hour or so. And we're going to be talking about something very serious, subject around mental illness, something that is more prevalent in society than ever has been. But thankfully, something we're talking a lot more about as well. So he's from the charity Rethink Mental Illness. And we're going to be talking about what that charity does and what sort of support it provides to people over the next hour or so. But you got me for 2 hours all the way through to 4 o'clock today. So if you want to get in contact, maybe you got a request, maybe there's something you want to announce on radio. I don't know, it could be you got married or you're getting married or whatever it is. It might be a charity that wants to announce something you're doing. Then get in contact with us quite simply. You can just email us at studio@traffordsound.org. It'll come through to me. And by the wizardry of modern technology, we will be able to do something on air for you if you want it. My guest today is a gentleman called David Rayner, who's from a charity called Rethink Mental Illness. David, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Good to be here.
And good to have you. Now, tell us what Rethink Mental Illness is all about. What's the charity? Sure. How did it start? Well, who's it there for?
Okay. I suppose I should first of all make clear that there's a national charity called Rethink Mental Illness. Our local group is affiliated to them, but I wouldn't really want to pretend that I could speak on behalf of the national charity because I'm not here really in that role, though obviously I know things about it.
Yes.
The national charity has quite a broad range of interests, and I would think it could be summed up by saying that they try to represent the needs of people with a mental illness and their carers across society. But of course, they have a real major interest in policies for how people with a mental illness are cared for within the health system.
So it's both care for people and their carers,
yes,
as well as being a sort of pressure group or a think tank that tries to influence policy across the country.
Certainly that. And its other major role is as a source of information. They have quite an important helpline you can telephone. And any issues that you might have, any information that you might need, any problems, if you're finding it difficult to negotiate the system, as it were, then there are people who are experienced at Rethink who would be able to do that, and better than we could do with our small local group. And it's really the local Manchester group that that I'm better qualified to talk about.
So let's talk about that group. Obviously, it's linked as part of a network. It benefits from that network, the thinking, etc. But you're primarily here for the people in Manchester. And from our chat off air, you're here for both the people who care for those who suffer with mental illness as well as the sufferers themselves. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. That's right. The National Rethink Charity has a lot of local or regional groups affiliated to them, so we're just one among a lot. And they're all one-offs, if I could put it that way. Some offer quite sophisticated services. They run local day centres, help people with mental illness into employment. But we're not at all resourced in that way. We're much more informal, and we tick over on a very small budget.
Well, let's talk in a bit. We're going to take a track, and then we'll talk about what is the support you provide and open up the discussion on what is mental illness as well. This is indeed Trafford Sound. It's Rod Maxwell with the afternoon show, and my guest in the studio today is David Rayner from the charity Rethink Mental Illness, or I should say the Manchester branch of that charity. It's a national charity. So, David, we talked a bit before as a bit of an opener, but when we talk about mental illness, what sort of things are we talking about? What are people suffering from that suffer with mental illness?
Yeah, I suppose most people who've got contact with mental illness would say there's a question mark even about the phrase mental illness. Mm. It covers a huge spectrum, and I think we would all have to say, or I would like to think that all of us could say, that we're all somewhere on a spectrum. Mm. Anybody at any time may show the types of behaviours or have the types of feelings that might be classified as mental illness. It can go from... And when I say this, I'm not in any sense wishing to try to play down the seriousness of things like depression. Depression can be hugely debilitating. Mm. The range of what could be described as mental illness could go from feeling isolated, feeling unwanted, as it were, perhaps on any one day, through to very severe psychoses, which make it difficult for people to work, often to go out, to socialise. They're the most severe types of mental illness. And there you would have almost always a formal diagnosis of one kind or another. Mm. But there you're getting into the real professional side of it, where you would be in the mental health system, perhaps for significant lengths of time, and sometimes hospitalised.
So, I mean, essentially, as an area of the health or medicine, if you like, mm. I think one of the good things is that it's much more open and discussed than it used to be in the past. But you could be working alongside somebody who is suffering with some form of mental illness or some challenges, I prefer to call it, that you have no idea about, but they're suffering. And the organization Rethink Mental Illness is there for both them and their carers to support them through a process of just feeling supported, I guess, at the end of the day. Is that right?
Certainly that's true. And Rethink, the national charity, is there to help raise awareness of the issues because, as you say, it can be invisible. You might have someone sitting next to you who's got a problem, facing challenges day by day, and you just don't know. It's, by definition, it's almost always invisible. And again, you're right that recently it's mental illness has had a higher profile, even in government policy. There's been the issues of particularly of depression and dementia have become much higher profile in the last few years, partly because more resources are needed to support people who have those difficulties and to support their carers. And just for let's take the workplace or schools as an example. There does need to be more of a focus on supporting people who otherwise would be, if I could put it this way, suffering in silence. Mm.
So when somebody contacts your organisation, the Manchester branch, I assume sometimes, is it more often the carer than the person who's suffering, or can it, you know, and what are they coming with, without being specific, but, you know, what's the situation that they find themselves in?
I think generally speaking, it's carers, and particularly carers of people who have more severe forms of mental illness, because that can be very isolating. It can be extremely challenging as a carer, and you can feel as though you're the only person in the world facing these intractable problems. So there are all kinds of ways in which people might get referred to the local group or refer themselves. And often it's just through local networks that they hear from somebody else, or they might see a notice in a GP's surgery or a community centre. And get in touch to see what kind of support might be offered. They might come along to a meeting. If it suits them, they'll keep coming. But we don't try and keep people, as it were. It's a very open group, and the important thing is that people feel it's of use to them. You know, we wouldn't want people to come just out of a sense of loyalty, as it were, that we want them to feel that they're getting something out of it.
Well, let's take another track, and then we'll come back and talk about what, when somebody comes to one of the groups, what happens and what sort of support they get, okay?
Sure.
My guest in the studio for this hour is a gentleman called David Rayner. He's from a local charity called Rethink Mental Illness, which is part of a national charity of the same name. And for the last half hour, we've just been talking around the subject and a little bit about the types of people who come and look for support, and I guess just to get a feel for the extreme breadth, actually, David, of mental illness. It's a very, very broad area of health, isn't it, really?
It is. I mean, if I could be personal, if that's okay. When we were chatting before the programme, I mentioned to you that I have epilepsy, which isn't really regarded, I think, formally as a mental illness, but from going to the group, I found that it's helped me to deal with some of the feelings that I have of confusion often after I've had I have really quite small seizures, and afterwards I can feel very tired, confused, unable to cope, sometimes for a day or two. Mm. And it's been interesting to hear from people who have what would be more traditionally, I think, thought of as a mental illness, talking about very similar experiences. And I suppose that, again, is an example of how it's such a broad spectrum. And any one of us at any time could become subject to some level of mental illness.
So from conversations we had earlier on the phone, it feels like it's quite a gentle process that that you go through, because you're not taking people through any prescribed routes. It's just a place to come and talk, really. Would that be right?
Yes, I think that's right. I'll say in a moment or two about some of the formal things that we do, if that's the right word for it. But the origin of the group is that it was set up by my daughter in 2008. My son, her younger brother, has had a diagnosis of psychosis for what's now best part of 20 years. And she felt frustrated as a carer, because obviously as a sister, she is one of the primary carers. And she felt motivated to try and set something up that enabled her to share experiences with other people who might be in the same situation. And as I said, we're not remotely professionalised, and we tick over on a very small budget. We meet for an hour and a half from 6 to 7.30 on the second Thursday of the month at a venue near Victoria Station in the city centre. And quite often we have no formal agenda. There's a relatively small number of people who come regularly, and the fact that they do suggests to us that they do get value from it. And people just bring what they feel they want to bring on any one evening. So we don't know what might happen. We don't know what might come up. Somebody may come along, and just the day before, there's been a crisis either in their own care or with somebody that they're caring for, and they would like to talk to other people about what it's felt like, what have they been able to do, and for other people to say, well, similar thing happened to us, this is what we were able to do, or unfortunately sometimes simply to say, we found ourselves totally frustrated, almost in despair, because we couldn't get the help we needed when we wanted it. Mm. And I think, having said that, I would not want that necessarily to be heard as a criticism of the professionalised services, because they inevitably are limited. And we're dealing with a formidably difficult set of issues here. There are no simple answers often.
And it's a very changeable or dynamic area, because it seems to be constantly growing and different strands of mental illness happening quite a lot. So it's very hard to treat in any one way, is it? There's no one way of treating it, because there's so many different strands of mental illness.
Yes, and how it manifests itself in any one person will be different. Yeah. If you look at drug treatment, for instance, nobody knows for sure, not even the professionals, what effect a particular drug will have on any particular individual. Mm. There's always an element of, particularly at first, of trial and error. What will work for this person? Because I think it's fair to say any good professional will admit that, particularly when you get to the more severe forms of psychosis, we don't understand properly the origin of it. We don't know what processes are going on in the person's brain or their metabolism, whatever. So how drugs, for instance, will interact with any one individual is unpredictable.
And I know pretty much nothing about the subject, but the little I thought about it is that a lot of it is so personal to your own background. Mm. And the way that you might show or illustrate some of the stresses of mental illness can be very different based on how you have been in your life before and the experiences you've had, which makes it even more difficult to treat in some ways.
Yes, that's true. To take schizophrenia, for example, it seems, I'm obviously an amateur in this, but from what I've read about it, it seems that the origins of the illness, that could be as much in social and environmental conditions as anything, as it were, chemical in the brain. It's a mysterious and very destructive illness. I mean, it is destructive of the person who has it, and it can be very damaging to the people who love them.
Yes. Mm. But for what you described before, it does seem that the care is the support network around a person who's struggling with a form of mental illness. Yeah. They also need the love and support, and to know that they're not the only ones as well, which is part of what the groups provides.
Yes, certainly.
Okay.
And there are people with various forms of mental illness who've been, you know, in the health system, who come as well, and they talk about their experience, and that can be as valuable for carers as another carer talking about what their experience has been. You hear it, as it were, from the inside then. Yeah.
Well, we're going to take another track and then come back and provide some information about where people can get access to you. And I'd like to talk a little bit about your background, perhaps,
yeah,
as well.
By all means, yeah.
My guest in this hour of the show is David Rayner, who's from a local charity, a local branch of a charity called Rethink Mental Illness. And we've been speaking for almost the last hour about what is mental illness, how the charity supports those with mental illness. And we've just been, while we were listening to that track, talking about what does actually a meeting look like. So, David, could you just spend a few minutes bringing to life what a meeting would look like, so people get a view as to how it actually works?
Yeah. Well, a few minutes ago I was talking about what would be our routine, very informal meeting with no agenda. Sometimes we do have a more organised meeting, as it were. We might have a guest speaker. Manchester University does a lot of research in mental illness. It's quite an established centre. And we've had a number of researchers come either to talk about the research that they're undertaking, or to use the group as a sounding board for the issues that they're looking at. That's happened quite a number of times, and then they'll come back perhaps a year or so later to let us know what the results are. And that research can range from kind of social issues to do with caring through to very professional things like what medication works, what doesn't. And we, a couple of times we've had a pharmacologist from the university come to talk about drug treatments. So, you know, it's not just coming along and having a chat always. And we do organise outings now and again, you know, as a kind of social thing just for us all to go out and have a bit of fun together. We've been on a canal boat. We did a trip on a canal boat last year. And a couple of times we've been on what's called the folk train. This is a regular occurrence, nothing to do with us. We don't organise it. We just go along. There's a train that goes from Piccadilly to Glossop. And there's folk groups performing on the train as you go along. And then you go have a pizza when you get to Glossop and then come back. And we've done that a couple of times, that sort of thing. And a sing-song at Christmas.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, look, if anybody wants more information, wants to find out about the group or would, you know, thinks that it could be of help to them or their family or whoever, where's the best place they can go for some information?
The first point of contact is my daughter, Mary Patel. Rod, you said you would put up details after the programme about how to get in touch. If people don't see that, to be honest, the simplest thing to do is Google, as always. If you Google Rethink Mental Illness, you'll get the national charity, of course, and all the... there you'll be able to read about all the things that they do. But if you put Manchester in it, put just Rethink Manchester, you'll hit our group straight away. It's got a small website, and all the contact details for Mary and a bit more about what we do is there on the on the website.
Easiest thing is to Google, and just to remind everybody, the charity is Rethink Mental Illness. If you do that and put Manchester alongside it, you should get all the details, and your name probably will be there somewhere, or as a point of reference. But the Rethink Mental Illness Manchester, put that into Google and you will get through to them as well. We're going to take another track. I would like if you can hang around for a few minutes just to talk a little bit about your background, if you don't mind. And my guest in the studio for the last hour has been David Rayner from the charity Rethink Mental Illness. David, thanks for coming in and just some awareness around this and the support. Now, I couldn't let you go without talking about your journey to this, because you this is not wasn't your life before. It's something it's you got involved with, but you were in the ministry before that.
Yes, I was an Anglican parish priest. I still am, though I don't have any public ministry now, but I was a parish priest for over 20 years. My first job was actually in Manchester.
Wow. Mm. Is this how you've ended up back here again? Or
sort of. I mean, originally I'm from Warrington, so I've known Manchester all my life. Okay. And when I retired, I ended up coming back to Manchester. I stayed in London, where I'd been working for 10 years as a policy advisor for central government before I retired. And I stayed in London, but then decided to move back to Manchester because I can talk Manchester
it's
properly.
It's a good place. It's a good place to be. Now, tell me, what from your experience of the ministry helps you now in what you're doing with Rethink Mental Illness? Is there anything you can take from that equips you?
That's a tricky question. Let's think. I suppose as a parish priest, you get used to dealing with almost anything that comes your way. I think often it's not realised that parochial clergy of, you know, many denominations are the last professionals who still live in the community where they work.
Yeah.
So you're there 24 hours a day, and anybody can knock on your door at any time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you do a range of things. in terms of things that people might recognise as the traditional things that an Anglican or any minister would deal with, you could go from doing the funeral for a baby to dealing with a couple who are getting married. I mean, in terms of human experience, you know, how far apart could you get?
Yes, indeed.
And of course, it's terrible doing a funeral for a baby, and then you're half an hour later, you might be with a couple who are looking forward to one of the great moments of their life that's going to be a celebration.
And I guess as in life, there's no real training for that at the end of the day. It's a sort of suck it and see and apply some common sense, really.
Yeah, I mean, you learn it on the job, really, in the end. Yeah. But I worked in parishes where there was a lot of diversity, and they would have been regarded as deprived areas. I was in Peckham in South London for a few years, and I ran a community centre there. And my parish was one of the most difficult South London estates. When I went there in 1980-ish, it had only been built 3 or 4 years before. It's now demolished. That's how disastrous it was. And it wouldn't surprise me if Southwark isn't still paying interest on the money they would have needed to borrow for that estate.
Yes, yes.
But it was a disaster for local people.
Yes.
And I got involved in housing issues through that, and community development issues, conflict resolution, that sort of thing. And one of my other parishes was in Smethwick near Birmingham, where, again, I was involved with housing and worked a lot with the local authority on regeneration and chaired their regeneration board for a while. So it's a broad range of experience, and as I say, you're learning all the time. But the basic job is recognising that people are people, and that applies helping out with the local rethink group.
I can imagine there's quite a few professions around in this country and others that probably need to start off with the idea of people are people. I think too much is spent not realising that, really. Look, thank you for your time once again. We'll post the details about Rethink Mental Illness on our website, and if anybody's got any questions or anything from this that's come up, get in contact with the group via their website, and I'm sure they'll be more than happy to help.